powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Seahawks got themselves a playoff game, and you guys are all fired up right now. We're going to Lambeau Field on Sunday for the final playoff game of the weekend. We're going to have Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, are we not, on the Fox broadcast? All right, well, that'll be fun for all of us sitting at home. I'm sure all the Seahawks fans will love that. But you guys are all fired up. We got full phone lines right now. So we're going to continue to take your calls. We're going to do our game show later on. We'll be talking to Michael Bumpus as well. Right now, we go out to Steve in Burien. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, hopefully we run the ball down this house, keep Rodgers off the field. I like to see a jumbo formation where they overload to one side and put a big guy as a flanker running through the formation as a lead blocker. You just hand the ball up to Marshawn and let him pound against that Packer defense, which is at the bottom or near the bottom of rush defenses. So just pound the ball into him. And I like to get what you guys think about jumbo formation where you have guard, tackle, tight end with a big body as a flanker coming through.
All right, thanks for the call, Steve. Do you think they're going to really? How do they approach the running game?
They're not going to try and pound the ball.
I don't think that's possible.
They're not going to try and shove it down their throat. Like, that's not the style in which they're going to go into this game. One, I don't think they have the capability of doing that with the running backs that they have, and also two, that the fact that you're in a situation where. You know, you don't have Mike Iupati potentially in this game. You don't have the maulers up front that you're used to playing with. So, to me, this is more of a trying to have an effective run game, a timely run game. And if they can get to 100 to 125 yards on the ground, I think that that absolutely spells out a very positive result for the Seahawks, and it helps slow down that pass rush for Russell Wilson to be able to be effective in, through the air.
125 yards would be a great day, even if Chris Carson were out there. Steve's in Kennewick. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's up? I am so stoked for this game. You guys have no idea. I called the four games of week one for the playoffs, which was awesome. I thought it was going to be pretty exciting. And I think it's best because, realistically, I think Minnesota's got a better chance of beating the 49ers than we do with their run game. We all know our run game's depleted, and I would love to see a championship, Minnesota and us, in Seattle. The likelihood of that is so slim, but it would be so sweet to see that. I mean, it would just be icing on the cake for this season. I am beyond ecstatic. Jake, I don't know if you remember me. I'll let you know every time I call in. You are the guru. I am the goon. I am your unofficial rival who will listen to you faithfully and let you know when you're wrong. There's been a couple times you've been wrong this season. Not to name too many of them, but I'll let you guys get back to it. I am so excited. Go Hawks! Come on!
Thanks. What does that mean? He's the goon?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm not sure. He has called and let me know that he is the goon and is willing to call me out. I have not
heard.
It's
like a duo, like a name duo, like Pinky and the Brain.
Sure. I have not heard what the things are that he wants to call me out on. But
oh, I thought maybe he played against you in high school or something.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. That might be a possibility. But it is interesting to see how this playoff situation has turned out, and the fact that, you know, we joked about it before the playoffs even started. What if the Seahawks were hosting a home playoff game for the NFC Championship? And that seems so far away and just completely unrealistic. And yet here we are here in the divisional round, and it's definitely a possibility with how the Vikings were able to go down to New Orleans and win. And you've got the Seahawks that have a pretty good chance of taking care of business versus the Green Bay Packers. So anything's possible.
I don't think it's that far out of reach that right now the Seahawks could host that game. I mean, it's a beatable 49er team. If it were like the New England Patriots hosting this other game and we were hoping we needed them to lose like a vintage Patriot team, that'd be one thing. Like, they're just not going to lose at home. Minnesota can beat them. Minnesota can beat them at Levi's Stadium in their first ever playoff game there. Absolutely. Pat is in Nevada. What's up, Pat?
Happy Blue Friday. Holy cow. I can't tell you. I'm reflecting the image of every of these callers. I'm so high energy. on this game. It's incredible. And I'm going to tell you a word. I'm psyched about this game. Guess who else is psyched?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers, because Russell Wilson lives in that guy's brain. And I'm telling you, this is the difference. All I can see is Aaron Rodgers sitting at that post-game interview presser, shaking his head, going, I can't believe I can't beat this guy when it counts. And I'm telling you, that's going to mean something. He's going to make one little mistake in that ball game, and we're going to take advantage of it. I really do think it might come down to the last drive, but I think we're going to have the ball, and I think it's going to be Russell, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot of replays of Aaron Rodgers shaking his head.
Well, thanks for the call, Pat. Here's the thing. Russell hasn't won at Lambeau yet, but those games that they've played at Lambeau, I don't want to say they don't matter, but they haven't played in the playoffs there yet. Right. In fact, they've only played one playoff game against one another in the Russell era, right?
This is the NFC Championship game. Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, all the games matter, but they've only had that one game. I mean, late in the year, a couple of years ago, they went to Lambeau and they got, you know, kicked around a little bit. But look, going to Green Bay, I'm not sure that Russell Wilson is in Aaron Rodgers' head. What do you think about that? Do you think he is?
I don't think he is, but I think there is a nice little rivalry there. I mean, anytime, you know, Aaron Rodgers is taking shots at you after post game a couple years back, I think that that is something that lingers. I don't think that's something that you just do and then it goes away after that. So this is definitely an opponent. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers. He wants to beat the Seahawks. He wants to beat Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson as bad as any other team in the league. And so both of these teams are fired up for this matchup, and you know, there is a ton on the line for both quarterbacks in my mind.
Lawrence in University Place, Jake's home. What's going on, Lawrence?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
All right.
Just all right.
Well, now that you're calling, Lawrence, I'm much better.
What you got for us?
That's true for all of us.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. So you know what, guys? I'm super excited. Here's what's going to happen on Sunday. Russell is going to lead the game-winning touchdown drive in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. The 49ers are going to beat the Vikings, and then next week we're going to go down to the 49ers, and we're going to kick their butt, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl. That's my prediction right now.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You say the Vikings are going to beat the 49ers, then we're going to beat the 49ers?
No, he said the 49ers are going to win, and then he wants it rather than Seattle hosting in Minnesota. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying it might be more satisfying to head to Santa Clara and beat the 49ers.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. I thought because the 49ers don't have like a weird thing where they get like
a mulligan.
Double elimination.
Right,
they go to the loser's bracket.
Exactly, the loser's
bracket. What would be more satisfying? Would it be more satisfying to have a home game here for the NFC Championship and win? Or would it be better to go down to San Francisco and beat them in their own place and go to the Super Bowl?
I mean,
what would people rather prefer? I mean, having a home game would be incredible, but there is something to that, kind of the extra twist of the knife to the 49ers.
It is, but I mean, it depends on how much you hate the 49ers. If you really hate San Francisco, you want to go down there and beat them in their own building. I think two wild cards playing against one another in this building, just even for the historic moment of that, right, and having, you know, just CenturyLink Field and everything that goes with that, I absolutely am praying for that.
Yeah, this town would be electric if that's the case.
Which game is the Minnesota game Saturday night? It's the second game of Saturday, right?
It's Saturday. I think it's the early game Saturday, actually.
The early game Saturday?
Saturday at 1:35.
Oh, okay. Chris in Spanaway. What's up, Chris?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys.
You got it.
Man, I got so many thoughts on this game, but I'll try to keep it to a minimum here. I really feel like the way we played towards the end of the season, the way we fell out of the top seed, was kind of a blessing in disguise. I don't think a bye is exactly what we needed at that point in the season. We were facing adversity, and I really felt like we needed to play through that. And we did. We are. That being said, if you look at Green Bay's record, who have they played, man? They haven't really played anybody. The best team they beat was the Vikings. And they split the season with them. And the worst beat they took was from the Niners. They only scored 8 points at Levi Stadium. So, I mean, I feel like their record is a little bit inflated. What do you guys think?
Well, do you think that there's any team in the league, any playoff team that's beaten more than, like, I don't know, six teams that are over 500? Usually, at some point, you end up beating on bad teams. I mean, I haven't gone through every single team in the league, but I feel like teams that get to the playoffs, they typically benefit from pouncing on bad opponents, at least a handful of them.
They do. I would say that Green Bay has played one of the softer schedules. They've had a very favorable schedule during the regular season. The Seahawks, they've had, I think, a top five, even a top three schedule in terms of difficulty. So there's two different routes there. So I definitely understand that. Just even within your own division alone is a huge difference. But I really look at the Green Bay Packers, and I do agree with that sentiment, Chris, that this is a team that I really think it has been a false positive in terms of, you know, 13-3. I don't look at this team and fear them in any way, shape, or form. And Tom, you said yourself earlier in the week that, you know, a number two seed, this isn't your traditional two seed that you're like, man, this is a legitimate two seed.
A two seed that could have been a one.
Exactly. Yeah. That is not the case.
No.
So I see that. And to go one real quick about blessing in disguise, I do agree with that in the sense that you did get some guys back in this, in Quandre Diggs and Shaquille Griffin and other players that needed to continue to keep playing to build confidence and to continue to build chemistry on the field. Look at DK Metcalf and that performance. So having that ability to play in the wild card, I think, has benefited them.
All right, let's quickly get through some of these other calls here. Dean and Kent. What's up, Dean? You've been on hold for a while. What's up?
Yeah, hey, so my feeling on this whole thing is, number one, anybody who thinks we're going to go out and win the game by running it down anybody's throat really doesn't understand what the hell's going on with this team. Our O-line's almost nothing, and last time I checked, 2-3 weeks ago, Lynch was sitting at home eating whatever he was eating. So that's not the way to do it. You want to win this game, you got to do what they decided to do last week and what they have done at periods throughout the season. Put the ball in the hands of your best player, who is your quarterback. If we start the game with two runs and one long pass in our first two series, we're in deep trouble. If we come out after halftime with that, we're in deep trouble. However, if we come out changing the cadence, you know, the tempo, hiking it with 10 seconds, then with none, then right away, and layered passing, quick passing routes, we can win. But if they're going to try their old tired two runs and a long pass, we're in deep trouble because we don't have the horses to do it. It doesn't work, and it leaves us – our margin for error is so small that way. Any one penalty, and we're in trouble. They've got to open it up and put the ball in Wilson's hands to have any chance.
They probably will put it in Wilson's hands, and I agree. It's got to run through him. Thanks for the call, Dean. Chris and Everett, what's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Okay, about three or four things real quick. Number one, the Seahawks need to step up. That's the defense. Number two, the offense needs really to step up. And the same thing with DK Metcalf, all right? And then let's hope I think this game will go right down the wire, but let's hope get to the second half and we'd be so behind in the first half. No. The Seahawks had to take the lead, 7-0. I'm off the air. You guys have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Chris, for the call. We appreciate it. One more, Len in Portland. Talk to me, Len.
Hey, just real quickly, two quick thoughts, and then I have a question for you guys. The first is, this show has really surprised me. It's actually become my second favorite show on Cairo. The dynamics between the three of you, I got to tell you, I think you guys are right on.
We appreciate that,
Len. Thanks, Len.
Yeah, the second thought about this is, Tom, I'm kind of with you. I'm a fan. I'm not a player, so I know, Jake, you know, we're not done yet. But, man, I got to tell you, I thought we'd be, 9-7 or 10-6. And to be where we are, oh, my, how cool is this? And just think about next year. Finally, my question. Now it looks like we're going to have weather. Icy field, perhaps, snow during the game. Is that going to, whose team is that going to help? Is that going to help the offense? What's the impact of that, you guys, in your opinion?
Great question. If you point to any significant positive direction or spin that you want to put on it for the Seahawks is that it does slow down your pass rush. So for the Green Bay Packers, they're not going to be able to get to the quarterback as effectively in the snow if it's snowing heavily. So that also reflects to the Seahawks pass rush itself not getting to Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, let's face it, we haven't really consistently gotten to the quarterback that much anyway. So, to me, it's a very positive thing if they can overcome that situation and give Russell time. That's where it can really come into play.
Right now, we're in four down territory.
This is four down territory.
With Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
If you're the Packers, what's your formula to beat the Seahawks?
You have to get Aaron Jones going. You have to get Aaron Jones going in the ground game. You have to get him involved and create mismatches with him in the passing game. The unique thing about Aaron Jones is that he's a guy that they don't just use in traditional running back routes, swing passes, flat routes, you know, checkdowns. They use him in deep vertical passes down the field, corner routes, sail routes, go routes. They use him as a vertical threat. And if you have him aligned against a player like KJ Wright or even Bobby Wagner for that factor, you're going to create a mismatch. And so to me, you have to, if you're the Seahawks, counter that by getting Bradley McDougal on the field and having a spy on him or being matched with him or Ugo Amadi in those situations. The other side of it on the offense is you got to get to Russell Wilson. If you can hit him, harass him, limit him, that's when you're going to be able to be effective and make this really difficult for the Seattle Seahawks.
Second down. Stacey, what did Pete Carroll tell Dory Monson about the Seahawks' health entering Sunday?
Well, you guys got some pretty important injury updates on Dwayne Brown and Mike Iupati. Here he is right now.
Well, we'll see. Dwayne made it through today. We're going to go all the way to game time. Mike's struggling a little bit more coming back. We'll see how he does. We'll have to wait and see on both those guys.
So parsing Pete Carroll is a very difficult task.
It's an art.
I haven't quite mastered it, but I think I can figure it out. I'm pretty good at it. I'm reading it as a far more positive update on Dwayne Brown. Jake's pretty confident he's playing.
He's playing. I think
saying he was able to get some work in even earlier this week, and again in his Friday interview, was huge. So I think he has a much better chance to play it than does Iupati. Even getting him back would help, because when I make that prediction earlier and I talk about Green Bay being a real threat and that they're really in danger there, I'm looking specifically at Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, either side of their outside linebackers. Za'Darius Smith leads the team with 13.5 sacks, and he lines up all over the place. It's not him going against George Fan all game or him going against Jermaine Ifedi all game. They line him up inside, outside. He can play anywhere. And that's a guy that's going to give you a really hard time, and they will absolutely take advantage of Joey Hunt being your backup center. And if George Fan is in there, him being your backup left tackle, you not having him as an extra blocker, that's a big deal to get Dwayne Brown back.
That makes me terrified.
Well, I said what I said.
Third down. Which Seahawk player needs to step up and have a strong performance, other than everybody?
Other than everybody?
Yeah.
The one key
guy to me.
Is there
anybody who doesn't? Like, can anybody go out there and just slack all game?
Now, what I mean by this is based off of performances that haven't been as stellar of late. And the one guy to me that you can easily point to is Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers is the guy that when you watch on film, that's the guy you want to pick on. And he has not played as confident in the last couple games. And I guarantee you, they're going to try and create ample opportunities to attack him down the field, to attack him, you know, 10, 12 yards with Davante Adams. And that's going to be a big key, is if Trey Flowers can play well and play up to his ability, this will really help out their defense.
Fourth down. Is John Donovan a good offensive coordinator hire for UW?
To be determined at this point. To me, right now, as you sit on it right now, it's underwhelming. You've seen some history of him at Vanderbilt, but that is like 8 years ago that he had success there, really struggled at Penn State, and then went on to the NFL and never was really a guy that, when you talk about behind the scenes, carried a lot of weight in terms of game planning and development and all that kind of stuff. It was just kind of a position coach on the roster. But I think what Jimmy Lake is leaning on is, one, the familiarity with him and having a relationship with him, and two, from his own experience of being in the NFL, he grew a lot and became a much better coach after having that experience. And I think that's what he's really banking on with John Donovan here, is coming in, being a young guy, being energetic, being excited about the opportunity, and being willing to run an offense that fits exactly what Jimmy Lake wants to execute.
Because it's Blue Friday, we're asking you to head to 710sports.com/win and submit a Blue Friday photo of yourself in Seahawks gear, like the sweatshirt I'm wearing right now, sweatshirt I'm repping, for a chance to win Seahawks Pro Shop gift card. Thanks to our friends at the Seahawks Pro Shop, who want to get you ready for the Seahawks playoff matchup this weekend. Again, details and rules for our Blue Friday photo contest at 710sports.com/win. I'm starting to get hot in this thing. I'm going to have to take it off pretty soon.
During the break?
Yeah.
It's like your Twins jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
You had like a pure polyester or like carpet jersey on that you were just dripping sweat.
And that thing was actually short sleeve.
I know.
Like this thing is like full on and it's cold outside.
I appreciate your dedication.
Now, after those fiery calls and we took all that and their passion and all that, did that move the needle for you guys at all?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think I was clear enough at the top of the show. I'm confident. I just think I'm ready for a win. I'm ready for a loss either way. That's my Zen kicking in. I'm already super proud of this team. It's my favorite team that I've covered. It's my favorite team to talk about, observe, whatever you want. Just watching their games every week. People complain that they play close games because it gives them a heart attack. I understand that, but I like watching close games. I find it entertaining. I think it's incredible the way that they find ways to win despite their own self-inflicted mistakes. This team has already fired me up throughout the year, so I'm ready for a win. I'm ready for a loss. But, yeah, I'm still confident going into Green Bay. I don't think that this is like some insurmountable hill, like when Aaron Rodgers was truly an MVP with a 15-1 team. I don't think it's that at all.
Well, I don't see Aaron Rodgers as the biggest threat in this game. I see it as the both outside linebackers, your rushers, the Smith brothers. And then, because they aren't really brothers, right? But they say they're brothers?
They're not brothers, but they say they're brothers. It's kind of like a Polynesian culture thing. That's my uncle.
It's awesome.
Everybody's their uncle.
Right. And they're great. And then you've got Aaron Jones. And so, yeah, I think those are your two biggest threats rather than just Aaron Rodgers. It would be wonderful if it was just Rodgers and is it going to be a big game from him or not? But I think you've got a bit more to worry about.
It's a fair point in the sense that your run defense for the Seattle Seahawks has not been what we are accustomed to seeing, and not having Michael Kendricks out there does play a factor. Cody Barton, as much as I thought he played a good game, he doesn't quite set the edge in the same way that Michael Kendricks did. So there are some things to exploit there. It'll be interesting to see how they handle Aaron Jones from a defensive perspective. Do they just play their normal base and allow for the mismatches to happen, or do they try to eliminate them as best as possible? That's one thing to really keep an eye on. So I definitely understand that.
Halftime show is coming up next, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for the Halftime Show.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The Halftime Show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll were built for this moment, eh, Jake? This is what they live for?
Yeah, these are the moments, man. This is all, you know, the conversations, the neutral thinking, positive talk, however you want to explain it, this is where it shows up. These are the moments that they are absolutely built for. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. But, man, they're going to be very much looking forward to the challenge. And I think this team, more so than any other team, just has the ability to quiet the noise, quiet everything that's being said about them, and just focus on the fact that they've been through so much together, that they believe in one another, despite what's going on around them. And I think that that is something very special and very dangerous when you get into the playoffs.
And, you know, it's not that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are exact opposites necessarily, but they are definitely different. I was watching a press conference, I think, yesterday with Aaron Rodgers. He always has that look on his face like, why are you asking me that?
Right, like you he's know, annoyed like, with you the
right,
whole time.
Like, I don't know, like, what are you asking me that? And Russell Wilson, you can call him a phony if you want, but he's into this thing, man. Like, you're right. This stuff does, every single second of his day, which is spent dedicated to football, he cares about. Like, yeah. He is, so is Pete Carroll. I don't know as much about Matt LaFleur just as a human being and what how he conducts himself, what his demeanor is, but you're right. Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, I know that they're going to be ready for this. Well, one of our callers before brought up a funny point. They said to avoid the slow starts, get to the park earlier or get to the stadium earlier. I don't really think that that's going to help. I think they're going to do things the way they usually do them.
No, you don't think if they go out and line up at 11:05 a.m.?
Yeah, exactly.
They're just ready.
All right, men, line up.
All right, we're breaking the huddle at 3:40.
I don't think it's going to happen that way. All right, next. Dwayne Brown and George Fant haven't practiced all week, Stacey. But Jake over here is confident.
I've called my shot. I called my shot last week. I'm calling it early this week. I think Dwayne Brown is playing. And the fact that we heard that cut of Pete Carroll talking about Dwayne Brown, to me, if you're parsing it, I mean, it is very revealing in terms of what he says.
Yeah, I think that he has maintained a level of optimism about Dwayne Brown all week that he hasn't had about Iupati. Earlier this week, he said he was seeking a second opinion on Iupati, which could mean a lot of things. I interpreted it to be maybe not the best news in the world. Even saying earlier in the week that Dwayne Brown got in work Tuesday was big. And I think that he, when Dwayne Brown originally had his surgery a couple weeks ago, never ruled out the possibility of him returning in the playoffs. And I think people were expecting that depending on how far Seattle got, it would be the divisional round or NFC championship. So I feel much more confident about his return. Maybe Jake's influencing that. Just the proximity effect of his excitement.
Positivity is contagious.
It's contagious.
He's giving you vibes. He's spraying
it your way. I'm getting a lot
of
vibes. I'm getting a lot of positive Dwayne Brown vibes right now from Jake.
And if he's back, I think that changes a lot. I think that gives you a lot more confidence about this matchup and in terms of how they're able to handle the pass rush. Look, you still have Jermaine Ifedi that has to step up, but he's done that at times. He's, you know, Myles Garrett, I have to give him credit. Earlier in the year, he did do a good job against Myles Garrett earlier this year. And so getting Dwayne and getting his presence back, his leadership back on the field, that would be a huge boost to this team.
What percentage would he be at, though, if he were on the field?
That's a great question.
What's the lowest? I know it's not the same for every player, but for a Dwayne Brown, veteran player, been injured, what's the lowest percentage he can play at, I wonder? And where would he be in this game?
Honestly, I would say probably about 80%. If he's playing in this game, just based off of the type of surgery that he had, this wasn't a massive surgery.
Yeah.
This was a surgery.
They were waiting on swelling to go down.
Right.
That's what they're waiting on.
This was a surgery to kind of clean things up. And so it's a matter of, like Stacey said, the swelling to go down. That's something that you can play through at 80% and still be very effective.
Next. We got three other games to watch before the Seahawks and the Packers take the field on Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon here, excuse me. Minnesota at San Francisco, they're going to be the first game, 1:35 on NBC. We'll go through our picks later, by the way, coming up at 2:30. We'll take a caller, we'll make our picks on that one, just to give you, I guess, kind of an early flavor on what we're feeling right now. When I was leaving today, ESPN had a graphic up. It was four different stats. I think it was completion percentage, touchdowns in two others, but between Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins, they were all just about even. So for as much fanfare as Jimmy Garoppolo's got this year, and Kirk Cousins really hasn't until recently, that's if you're just looking at quarterbacks, if you're somebody who picks games by doing that, it's a pretty even quarterback matchup.
Yeah, I think the real concern for I'm sure Minnesota is San Francisco's defense. And that's what's been, or their run game, which has really been the strength of that offense.
It has, but you also have to look at Jimmy Garoppolo and give him credit. Over the last couple games, he has played well. Now, I do think that is because the run game has been good, Stacey, to echo off that point. But also, Kyle Shanahan is such a good offensive play caller that he's put Jimmy Garoppolo in a lot of good situations. I think really the key matchup here is going to be San Francisco's run defense against Minnesota's run game. Because that's really what got them in a great position for the Vikings against the Saints was Dalvin Cook. He was healthy. He was fresh. And it sure looked like it when they played the Saints.
And how many times when we were talking about San Francisco for those games earlier this year, did we mention that run defense being their weakness of an otherwise pretty stout defense?
Absolutely.
All right, the other game's coming up. Tennessee at Baltimore. That'll be Saturday, at 5:15 on CBS. You guys think that Tennessee, and we talked about this earlier in the week, if Tennessee knocks off both Baltimore with the best player in the game, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes, which would be in the championship game should it turn out that way, would people be resentful of Ryan Tannehill, even though even though Tennessee would be one of the great underdog stories of all time? I mean, people might look back on it. I don't think
they'd be resentful of Tannehill, but I don't think he would get... I think an underdog like the Seahawks and Russell Wilson, who are underdogs against a number one or two seed, say this was in the AFC, that I think would garner more positivity than Tannehill doing it. But I don't know that people would resent, because it would just be so insane. You would have never seen anything like it.
It would be. I think the media would be disappointed. I think that's the best way to say it. Yeah. Is they would definitely be disappointed.
Like a parent. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
And you know, the funny thing is I think Tannehill would get some love, but the main, you know, shower of adoration would go towards Derrick Henry, because that guy's just been a man amongst boys. And if
he might, is he the most underrated player in the league? He never gets talked about. He led the league in rushing. That team's offense is Derrick Henry.
It has been, and Tannehill's been playing great too. But to beat the Baltimore Ravens, it's going to take a superhuman effort from both Tannehill and Derrick Henry. I think Baltimore is just too good right now.
Can I give some bad news?
What's that?
Yeah.
Can you turn the music off here, Curtis? For those of you who have been listeners of this station for the last 10 years or so, you know that Mike Salk and I are really, really, really big fans of the band Rush. And we're big fans of a lot of classic rock, just in general, that generation of music. But we've learned that a lot of you are also fans of Rush, and evidently Neil Peart, or Pert as he's known, has passed away at the age of 67. He had quit playing drums in the last couple of years, and the band had retired. But for those of you who didn't know that had happened, the news broke about, I don't know, in the last 20 minutes or so. It's very sad. And for those of you who don't know how good of a drummer he was... He was good. He was the best. I mean, I'm not the only one who thinks this. He was roundly appreciated as the best rock drummer who ever lived. So pay your respects, rock fans. It's a bad day. Bad day for Rush fans. Sad day for anybody who's a fan of that kind of music. We're back in a second. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
The injury report is brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. Stacey, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, so we don't have practice participation yet, but you have your official game injury report. So there's no players listed as out, which is good news. You've got one player as doubtful. That's starting guard Mike Iupati. You've got a couple players that are questionable. The good news is tackle Dwayne Brown is listed as questionable as opposed to out. You've also got tackle George Fant, defensive end Ziggy Ansah, defensive end Quentin Jefferson, and safety Marquise Blair. Again, all are questionable.
I can't believe Ziggy Ansah is questionable.
You mean you thought he would be out?
Doubtful.
Yeah. I mean, Pete Carroll said earlier when he was giving his updates with Dory that Ziggy Ansah was also a game time decision, that him, Brown, and Iupati would be game time. I think the fact that Upati's doubtful and Brown is questionable probably means that Brown plays and Iupati doesn't, which sounds very obvious, but Pete Carroll is usually pretty hesitant to list a player as doubtful.
Maybe it's just because Jake didn't show the same optimism for
Mikey Potty.
That's why.
I didn't send the same vibes.
No, I was going to say for Ziggy Ansah, which is why I'm surprised.
Oh,
he's there.
Gotcha.
It's like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I was surprised just knowing that it takes him a while to come back and that he's had this repeated issue with stingers and all that. I just would have figured that he probably would have been doubtful for this game, but definitely a positive sign for him that he is able to be in this questionable area. And I would anticipate that these players that are questionable, Dwayne Brown, George Fant, Ziggy Ansah, I would anticipate all five of those guys being able to play on Sunday.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll's going to have a press conference at 2 p.m. So there are some guys we didn't get updates about. For instance, George Fant. So that's a guy that I'm sure reporters will ask about it too, and then we'll relay that information to you.
Not having Mike Iupati in there, I think it definitely is a player that you want to have. He's just a big-bodied guy, experienced guy. In terms of the run game, he is a mover of human people. Like, he can move people with his size. But Jamarco Jones, who's going to be filling in for him at left guard, he's done an adequate job. I mean, I thought he did a really good job in Philly. I thought he did a great job for DJ Fluker at right guard. And so he might not be that same run-mashing type of offensive guard, but he did good in the run game, and he did exceptionally well in the passing game, and I think that's something that they desperately need in this matchup.
Do you guys remember us here in Seattle ever embarrassing another coach or an athlete by putting their face on a billboard and mocking them?
Not that I can recall.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever.
I think there was an Olsen Twins movie about that.
Oh, really?
That's unrelated.
Okay.
I mean, I think they put their dad on a bill. We don't need to talk about it, Tom. Why do you say that?
We don't. Okay. Because in Green Bay, Pete Carroll's being mocked for his gum chewing. For anybody who didn't think that this was a rivalry and that the Green Bay fans don't hate the Seattle Seahawks for obvious reasons, where can we find this? On Twitter?
Yeah, you can find it on Twitter. I'm gonna try and pull this up as I'm talking here. But there is a huge billboard with just Pete Carroll's mouth and a wad of gum in his mouth.
See, that's when you know
the gum, the chewing stops in Green Bay.
Ha!
That's when you know it's a rivalry, though, because you only get mad at stuff like that if you really don't like someone. Like, I don't get mad at people for random things, but if I already don't like you, the second you start chewing a banana, I am really mad at you. You know? Just those little things that you're like, well, I can't stand this person and their stupid banana.
Is that reciprocated here? Because,
no.
Honestly, I don't feel the same hatred towards Green Bay. I don't like them. There's been very close games. There's been games that have gone to the wire, and that's what I traditionally anticipate every time we play Green Bay. But I don't hate them to the point where, you know, we're putting a Aaron Rodgers billboard here in Seattle and saying that the road stops here. You know, I don't think
it's because Seattle got the upper hand of two big matchups, one much bigger than the other. Obviously, there was the Fail Mary, which they're still mad about. But that NFC Championship game, I think if we were on the other side of it, it would be a different deal.
Yeah, if we had lost the Fail Mary and we had lost the title game, and both of those games had been in Lambeau Field, by the way. Like, if everything was switched, yeah, we'd be pretty upset about that.
I just love that the thing that they're pointing out is the thing that they're that drives them nuts is Pete Carroll's gum chewing. I hope that he has, for this game, now that we've seen this, is that he has ample gum and he's just constantly chucking
putting
new pieces in the game.
I don't even want him to spit out the old pieces. I want him to just keep putting new pieces in his mouth until it's like just this huge wad of gum.
They can barely talk, be understandable. Oh, man.
I could see, with the amount of winning that Pete Carroll's done, I could see him coming off as kind of annoying to opposing fan bases. Because he's kind of like, he and Russell are just this happy-go-lucky little, you know, duo. Like, hey, we're positive about everything, and we win games close because, you know, even though we call timeouts when we shouldn't, we still go ahead and we win the game. Like, that must seem pretty annoying.
I bet it does. I bet it does. And I think to a lot of people, they think it's fluky or they think it's fake in some sort of aspect. And like you said, I think the fact that the Seahawks have gotten the better of them in bigger moments, or at least in that one playoff game, I think is a huge, huge factor in all of it.
How much do you guys think it would take to get to purchase the billboard space needed for that kind of a stunt?
Man, I don't know.
It takes a lot of effort. Like, to get me out of the house just to go get gas, like, for my car. Like, the other day I'm sitting at my kitchen table. I'm like, man, do I get it tonight or do I get it on the way to work?
That conversation so many times
myself. It's like a half an hour debate in my head.
Yes.
Just thinking about it. And then there are these people in Green Bay who are like, you know what we should do? We should humiliate Pete Carroll by getting a billboard that mocks his gum chewing. Let's go do it. And they get the money together to do it, and they put all this stuff up there. And, like, that takes a lot of ambition to do.
It's really admirable, honestly. You know? You could probably build
admirable.
A whole house with your hands if you're that kind of person.
You could
do a lot of stuff. You should flip houses.
You could. I mean, think of all the... You had that kind of ambition? Absolutely. All right, Michael
That's
Bumpus.
A cool gift.
Michael Bumpus is in that. Oh, I saw him a second ago. Well, we're going to have him in next, coming up at the top of the hour to break down this matchup. 710 ESPN Seattle.